I'm here as a guest, and so I'm going to bless us into this sermon. We've already been blessed into communion and confession. And with this, I just want to share with you, it is a privilege to be trusted by your leadership to serve this time with each of you. Let us pray. God, with the meditations of our hearts and the words that will be offered today, may they continuously be acceptable in your spirit. Amen. So my job over the 20 plus years that I've been in public ministry as a Presbyterian, continue to do that, I have served the congregation downtown D.C., New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, for over 10 years. And then I served around, oh, I'm so glad you just asked them. Good job. And then I served around our churches, because my job now is I serve at our district level as Presbyterians, which is areas of Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. And in our particular district, we have 103 faithful congregations, plus some fellowships and some new things. But in that time, while I was at New York Avenue, and then after New York Avenue, I served as a gap pastor, an interim pastor with several of our congregations around the DMV. And I also was trained into assessing congregational vitality. You feel it? You feel it, right? And one thing that I get to share with you is across whether you're Lutheran or Presbyterian or any of the mainline denominations, and especially because my lane is the DMV area, guess what we all share over the past 50 years in this area? What do you think membership's been like for over 50 years? It's gone down a bit. Over 50 years. So it's not totally on my watch, one, right? What do you also think trust in institution, education, government, ministry, religion, what do you think that's been like over the past 50 plus years? It's going down, right? And so since then, most of us nerds overtrained in ministry, we've always been trying to capture the best thing, the greatest new thing, to make it go up, right? And so my work now with congregations is we assess energy and satisfaction to show where our barometers are on the vitality scale of Christianity. And even the vitality scale of why would we even come? So with that, in my ministry degree to preach, I now do data all the time. And I look at census data from the American Study of Religion that comes out on a very regular basis. Because when we assume why we're declining in membership, we assume things that we think we know. Why do you think we decline overall in membership? And it's okay. I'm not saying there's wrong answers, but I can't wait to show you what the data says. So why do you think we decline in our membership? COVID here. What was that? Religious aspects. Oh, this one was at the earlier service too. So. Good job. COVID, religious aspects. Anyone else want to take? We're coming up. Less of a connection with our community, our congregations, and within our congregations. And so you don't have life on life. Can I use the word intersections as much anymore? I appreciate that. I really do. Because, oh, what'd you say? So generational could be the reason, because younger generations don't go to church as much as, you're right. And that's been happening since my grandparents' age, right? Like, I'm almost 50, so that's been going on, right? And so with some of your guesses, I want to offer to you what the data presents in this 2-mile radius from here. Now, if any of you really want to dive in the data, It is free. I will give it to you because this is what I do now, right? But, like, what is so helpful is I also get to see how regionally, even in our DMV, it shifts just a little bit. And I was surprised because of the data, I think it's important for you all to hear why people do hope for religious institutions to be involved in their community. Do you hear that question? Why people do hope and want their religious institutions to be involved in their community. And in this 2.5 mile radius area, totally reflects our demographic. Programs for ministry preferences, number 3 at the whopping 16% of the whole, so it broke out, celebration of sacraments. What? How would somebody know what that is? Celebration of sacraments. Number 2 in this area of what they would hope to see ministry programs, quality sermons. So 2 things are put on notice. Because if you add the 2, so that was 28%, you add the 2, that's your whopping 45%, 44, 45% of the whole. Okay? I think that's a helpful majority. Because now you got quality sermons. If people are not being connected and juiced up by Jesus through the sermons, we've got to have a conversation. We've got to have an open conversation. And preaching doesn't just come from how well I may do it. Preaching comes from how I am intersecting with the lives of the congregation and the community. Preaching comes out of the relationships that are feeding into the life that is infused by the Spirit, thanks be to God, from this table and into how we come to worship. It's a collective relationship. I, someone who preaches, I need to make sure I'm engaged with it, for sure. It's this whole old school conversation about Christ in the world versus Christ outside the world. Amen. So then with that, they also said celebration of sacraments. Now, for some to know, the whole beautiful debate internally of contemporary worship or traditional worship, it happens in all of our churches, so nobody's special with that argument. And so with that conversation, it's there, but it ranked so low within the interests and the energy, okay? It's around whether it's contemporary or traditional. Are you doing celebration of sacraments? It does not read in the responses, doing sacraments. What word is presented? Celebration. Is that how you say it? Celebration of sacraments. Oh my gosh, did you realize that? We are such nerds. And we think that more people want to understand why we do it? Oh my gosh. I got so excited when I read that. In particular around here, we're educated people and so we kind of want to know the deals on that. And so every time we get to engage with why the sacred liturgy is there, every time we get to give testimony as to how I was blessed in a baptism or how I was fed at table, because whether you're super young or super awesome wisdom old, what happens is you want to understand and be in relationship with a ritual. Too much, we can just take it in. We can just drive through. But what about really getting to soak in a celebration of a mystery? What? That would be amazing. 44%. Those are ministry programs they're interested in. How cool is it that you don't have to spend extra money, really, on celebration of sacraments, right? So there's your budget offering as well. Okay. So then, the top number 1, at a whopping 35%. So if you added 44%, 35%, okay, 35%, what ministry programs people would prefer and are hoping for? Warm and friendly encounters. says our folks inside and outside of our religious institutions. Could be a reflection over COVID, but I will say specifically around COVID, that was still just under 20%. They have a specific question of 20%. I think maybe COVID has given people permission to opt out, maybe not try as hard, maybe live into shadows, but also maybe try something new. I think that's all up for grabs right now. But looking into warm and friendly encounters, encounters of the unknown, that's what's happening right now. And we as churches, we're organized in a way where we get sacraments. You need to expect quality sermons. That's subjective. What's a quality sermon for different people? You know, I'm going to put that on y'all. But then also, how is this the warm and friendly encounter that people can expect and also be infused with? When the inbreaking of God's blessing opens up the heavens and showers upon Jesus Christ, the language is, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased." The first hearings of this blessing is not, this is a member who is going to give this much money and serve in this many ways. The blessing is, this is my beloved with whom I am well pleased. And Isaiah amplifies how we live into that blessing, how we are able, vigilant disciples to release the prisoners out of darkness, how we are able and I guess I want to say passionate disciples of connecting one another to that constant grace, love, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit with our God. Now, the other data that you probably want to know that the early service got is reasons for considering not joining the church. Reasons. Number three is, we don't trust religious leaders. I wonder where that myth comes from. That's something you could maybe have a warm, friendly encounter to figure out. But people have experiences. People have assumptions. And if they think that all of us religious leaders, and in my tradition, Presbyterians are called ministers of the congregation, so it's a whole shared community, right? We've got to check that out. We've got to put ourselves out there and find out what happened. How did that trust get broken? Yeah. Number two, why people do not consider participating is they don't believe in God. Okay. That's only 21-22% of the whole. But when you add the 19% from they don't trust religious leaders, which we have ability to deal with that, and then the number one belief is why they don't consider, because it's too strict and inflexible of beliefs. That's a 23%. So you add those two together, that's your majority. You could even work with that. Strict and inflexible belief. I got to check this out. How many of you who have been a Lutheran, let's say for over 35 years, how are your beliefs exactly the same as they were 35 years ago? No. Does your church doctrine even hold to some of the same doctrine from 45 years ago? No. That's the same in my tradition too. So if I feel us reforming in the Spirit and expanding in the Spirit, and I have experienced, my God, never being forsaken, I have experienced the love and the grace and the constant forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If I have experienced this expansiveness, how come others haven't? Who didn't let them know? I don't know if I let them know. We've got a job to do. Now, how we do that? Let's come back. Warm and friendly encounters. Not tests. Not initially. But how do we let them know that this is a place of love, grace, and forgiveness that strives to live into God's justice? How do we let them know? It's got to be through warm and friendly encounters, friends. That's what people are asking for. Now, for those who consider, we call them on the fence. You can play with that. But then we also have data for those who absolutely say, I will not participate in organized religion. And the reasons are, number three, organized religion, too judgmental. That's a perception, maybe a myth, maybe it's true for some. We've got to check that out. Number two, reasons I don't participate, because I don't trust religious leaders. Came back to that one. We've burned bridges. Number three, or the top main one, I don't trust religious organizations. Perception is everything. We know this in our work. Perception and myths, we get to be the Mythbusters. It's a family favorite show in our house. We get to be the Mythbusters. About rooting ourselves out of those warm and friendly encounters that lift up the communion of the Holy Spirit through our celebration of sacraments. When the heavens opened up and Jesus is washed in the Spirit, I'm curious who celebrated. I think John was probably still stuck whether he was supposed to do it or not, right? John's probably a little scared. But what I love about this moment, and we have to own it, friends, in ministry, Jesus couldn't baptize himself. Jesus needed John. And God used us just the way we are, just where we're at, so that a whole community could hear, this is my beloved. Our children deserve to always know the story of their belovedness. We always deserve to be reminded of our covenant into this belovedness. And we then serve the world mightily by celebrating through warm and friendly encounters a beloved witness. You take us just the way we are. You hold us and wrap us into a washing of regular, normal water. The Spirit of sacrament and fantastic liturgy that can be shared and explained. God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness. Alleluia. Amen.